Welcome back to another session of Thursday evening, Musa Shir, and we're on Daf Chof Tes, first paragraph. This is CD number 30 and number 3 for Shar Ha'anava. Ha'anava Nikeres Ba'adam B'Shisha Devarim. Gentlemen, anytime you're interested in recognizing or be able to discern whether a person is an Anav or not, and that person really should be us, ourselves, in other words, looking in a mirror, and introspecting, and we want to know about ourselves. If we are a humble person, there are six ways in which a humble person can be recognized. And he goes through all the six. Harisho, number one, Bechozek kaso shel adam, the degree of a person's kas, his anger. Kigon, for example, Shibizohu adam meod b'dvarim b'masim, if this person is denigrated, either with words, verbally or physically, and the one who was degraded has the power and the wherewithal to take revenge, to hit back, or to speak back. But he chooses to rule over his spirit, to control himself, in other words, and he is mochel the person, he forgives the person, bavur abor baruchu, just simply because that's what Hashem wants him to do. Zesimin la'anova. This is a sign of humility. Incidentally, just as an aside, which really is not too much of an aside, this is also a sign of a person's bitachon in Hashem, a person's trust in Hashem. Because according to the guidelines of bitachon, we know that no one can hurt me, nobody can help me, nobody can embarrass me, nobody can harm me in any which way, unless it has the blessing of Hashem, unless Hashem allows it to happen. So this is the greatest preventative measure for nekama, for revenge, because you can do whatever you want to me, but since I know what you do is not coming from you, it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're only the agent, so it's like the delivery service that comes to deliver the eviction notice in your house, and you punch the guy in the nose. What does it have to do with him? He's just a messenger. So if a person verbally abuses you, or does self-defense, is something else. Physically, if somebody is beating up on you, you have a right, I'll be self-defense. But he's talking about the feeling of revenge. Even if when you're physically defending yourself, there shouldn't be any feeling of revenge, because it's not this guy who did it to me. He's the agent that was sent. Why he was chosen is a separate issue. Hashem is Megalgal and Chov al Dei Chayiv. Hashem chooses the bad people to do bad things, and good people to do too. He has to deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in terms of the person who is being denigrated, he, if he has bitachon, he knows, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, by the way, if you look under the mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch of Lo Sikom Velo Sitor, so he says, holding a grudge and taking nekama doesn't make any sense, because you only take nekama, revenge against someone who does something to you. Someone else can't do anything to you, they're just the agent. But basically what he is saying, if a person here, getting back to the main point here, this is certainly a sign of humility. As an aside, if you're wondering if you feel like a lemichel, if you feel like a wimp by not responding, It's more often than not that a person who doesn't have a logical argument against you will either use foul language or yell and scream. And the proof is, if he had a logical complaint, then he would talk to you sensibly, he would talk to you calmly. He has no other armor, he has no other ammunition, so he's got to, he has to mouth off. So responding in kind just lowers ourselves to his level. Fakert, we should maintain our dignity. And hold the tongue. It's not. I didn't say it's easy. It's not easy. So let's finish the paragraph. Vilipamim. Let's finish the paragraph. Vilipamim. Also limchol. There are times, however, that it is prohibited. You're not permitted to be mochel. Kegon, for example, Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham shebizohu barabim, who was ashamed, embarrassed publicly. Until the person who did the embarrassing goes to the Talmud Chacham and appeases him and asks mechila. Now, we can't go through all the details now. Anybody who's interested, there's a Gemara, Yuma, Daf Chof Beis, Amid Beis, that goes to the details of exactly when a Talmud Chacham is not permitted to be mochel. It happens to be, I know of a case of an Adam Gadol who was publicly embarrassed and la halacha. He followed as the halacha said. He did not. He was not mochel the guy. And 30 some odd years went by. 30 some odd years. And he wasn't mochel the guy because he wasn't able to la halacha. Finally, someone convinced the perpetrator to go and ask mechila. As soon as he asked mechila, it was an erev of Yom Kippur yet. As soon as he asked mechila, immediately the Adam Gadol says, of course I'm mechila. In other words, I wanted to be mechila 30 years ago. I just couldn't, halacha, until you appeased me, until you asked mechila. So there are certain cases that you're not permitted. But don't get too excited. Generally speaking, if it's not public, and if not talking about an Adam Gadol, Big Talmud Chacham, we're a Moichel, that's where we do it. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. So that's number one. Okay, so that's one way of knowing if a person is an Anav. Here's the second way of discerning an Anav, a humble person. Kasher Bolo Hefsid Gadol. When this person, this is a difficult paragraph, gentlemen, I'll tell you in advance, if someone suffers a great loss, and you would imagine he's speaking here about a financial loss, possessions, stock market killing, oh, Nebuch, Sheyamusu, Banav, Akrovav, someone in his family is deceased, he lost a member of the family.
You're talking money.
Okay, so the person either loses a lot of money, or he loses a member of the family, Umatztik din habari baruchu Allah, and he finds justice in Hashem's ways. And he accepts it with love. Like we know the famous case in the Chumash, Vayidom Aaron and Aaron HaKohen's two sons were killed right in front of him with the Eish, you know, the Eish Zaro, and they brought the foreign fire, and they were consumed in front of him. So it says Vayidom in the presence of Aaron, and Aaron was there when it happened.
Vayidom,
yeah. This shows humility, and it shows the humbleness of a person that he's able, even such a great loss never happens to him, still he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and he recognizes, gentlemen, what's pshat here? The pshat is that the person shows humility because he realizes that I'm too small to understand Hashem's ways. If I'm going to complain about, that means I have something to complain about. That means I want to understand where you're coming from. And a person who's an anav realizes he's too small to understand. And I'm only here for a short amount of time. And I don't have the big picture, as we've spoken about many times before. We have an incident in front of us, and everything is connected from the beginning of creation to the end of connection to creation, and to other events in the world, and we don't have the big picture. So when an event happens, a tragic event happens, and we want to ask why, there's no question why. We can't complain because we have nothing. Nothing to complain about. I realize I'm too small to get the big picture. Now that's number one. Number two, his humility allows him to see his own shortcomings, his averus, in other words, and therefore maybe he's getting a consequence for his sins. A person who is not an anav says, hey, how can this happen to me? Why? I lost so much money. To me? What did I do? Right? A person who is an anav realizes he's humble, and he realizes that, hey, I'm not as, I have my shortcomings, and I have sinned, and perhaps this is a consequence for my actions. We've spoken about many times the way to react to challenges. Most people ask why, and the question is not why. Because there's no answer to why, because we can never know the why, the reason why. After 120 years, we'll know the reason why. The only question to ask is what? What do I do about it now? And that usually means to strengthen my belief in Hashem. But to question why, and that was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was silent because he realized, number one, where does he come to understand the ways of Hashem? He's too small. And number two, he realized that perhaps it was a consequence for his actions. Okay, so let's go on to the next. HaShlishi, number three. Listen to this one, and this is an extremely important paragraph here. Im yishma she'olam meshapchim oso al chochmoso v'amasa v'atovim. If you ever hear news, if a person ever hears news, that people are praising him about how good he is, how smart he is, lo yismach belibo al zeh. Don't let it go to your head. Elo yachshov, but the person should think. Shemasov v'atovim heimu otim neged mashu chayav lasos. compared to what I should be doing vis-a-vis my relationship with Hashem and others, this is very little. Ve'eino melakatipa bayom hagodol. And this is like a drop in the ocean, because we know, gentlemen, generally speaking, we fall short of our potential. We have much greater potential. So the fact that I know how to learn, big deal, how much should I know how to learn? The fact that I do the chesed, fine, but how much chesed should I really be doing? So when I hear people complimenting me, I shouldn't let it go to my head, he says. V'cholshkein. And certainly, im yomro alav masim tovim shalosa. Let's say rumor in town is talking about things that you do good, and you know you don't do them. It's false. Nishkeshtoyge, nishkefoyge, never happened. Shelo yismach, certainly in that case you shouldn't rejoice. Ela yitztayr belibo asher yotza lo shem bedova shem bo. But you have to be pained that rumor is spreading that I did such and such, and it's false. I remember there was an incident where I believe it was a Aguda convention years ago, and Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was being introduced to speak. And the one who introduced Rav Pam said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the Chofetz Chaim of our generation, Rav Pam." And Rav Pam got up there and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I generally don't even listen and pay attention to the introductions, but I feel I must protest. This has been a p'chisas hakovod for the Chofetz Chaim. It's a denigration to the honor of the Chofetz Chaim to refer to me as the Chofetz Chaim of this generation." So, here, you know, sort of like fits into what we're saying here. You know, when you hear rumors, like, you know, that people are speaking how great you are, and you know you don't have, even when you do have it, you're supposed to feel it's not according to your potential. So certainly if you don't have it. Now listen to this, it gets better, gentlemen. V'im echad, four lines from the bottom. V'im echad siper lo'ov masim ro'im. Let's say bad news travels around town about you. Someone is, you know, some gossip. Now it depends. Im emes hadavar, if it's true, people start talking that you're a gambler, and you know you talk. It's true. You're a gambler. You gamble. If it's true, lo yechapes la aves ho emes lenakos atzmo. Don't look for ways to twist the truth in order to clean yourself of the report. Kamo shama Yehuda, and the proof is from Yehuda. Tzodka mimeni, when Tamar, after the incident of Tamar, and she said she didn't want to speak, she didn't want to report who it was that impregnated her. So what did she say? The one who these items belong to. So what did Yehuda say? He knew it was him. And we're not going to the whole issue there. Of course, we're not saying that Yehuda sinned. We're skirting the entire issue. Right now. But meanwhile, he did announce publicly, Tzadka Mimeni. She is a greater person, that she is more righteous than I am. Okay? So you can't try to vindicate yourself if you know what the bad report, that it's true. V'al yishtadil lahachish oso isha siper alav. And don't try to contradict the person who spread the report. Next side of the page. V'al yisnoehu al shagila hadava. And don't hold any hatred against the person who let this news out. However, yikona labori baruch hu. What should you do? We should humble ourselves before Hashem. Hashegila me'at meharbe. That, thank God, only this report got out about me, that I'm a gambler. And they didn't find out that I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this, and this. Only a little bit of the whole thing. Boy, thank God I was spared. L'yasro, l'ochicho, k'dei sheyoshu ve'ilov. Because that was Hashem's way of tapping him on the shoulder, so to speak. That, wake up, do tshuva. So Baruch Hashem, he only tapped on their shoulder a little bit. By the way, there is a medrash in Bereishis that says it's better of the fire here to be thrown into the fire here, which could be extinguished, rather than the fire later in Gehenna, which consumes forever. For certain people. So if you have to endure the fire of this bad report, if it's true, it's better to endure it here, so you'll be spared later on. Listen to this. So that's if what the report is true. What about if it's not true? Someone's spreading rumor about you. It's not true. If what was reported about you is absolutely false, in this case also, don't embarrass the reporter, and don't get angry at him whatsoever. Now, I just want to clarify something which is very important here, because I know someone is about to ask, I suspect someone's about to ask, what do you mean I should take this sitting down? He's spreading bad rumor about me, and I said, I know it's not true. It's baloney. So I want to mention a Torah Tamima. There's a Torah Tamima in Chumash Bereishis, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis, that says on the Pasuk, V'yisem Nikiyim, and you should be clean. V'yisem Nikiyim. On those words, the Torah Tamima says that a person should vindicate himself when he is being accused falsely. Don't hate the guy, don't yell back at him, but you have to let people know in town. We have to let people know in town that what was said is not true. I never did such a thing. And he's spreading, the word is being spread. You don't talk Lashon Hara, but word is being spread. But you have to vindicate yourself based on that pasuk. Now listen to this gentleman. He tells a maisa. Listen to this maisa. Ki kvar, this is astonishing information coming up. Ki kvar nema alecha ad min hachasidim. A story is told of a pious person. She'echot tziper olav ra. Somebody spoke lashon hara about this person. Mu'cheshenoda hadav elachasid. When the word got back to this pious person, sholach lo sashesiper olav doron. He sent a gift to the guy who spoke lashon hara about him. Gift wrapped a gift. He sent it to him in a mail. V'kosavlo, and he wrote him a note. Ato shalachta li doro mi zchuyosecha. You sent me a gift from your merits. Ani gamalti lecha bedoron ze shalachti lecha. I'm reciprocating by sending you this gift. I don't know what the gift was, a pair of shoes, a chveis, a bow tie, whatever it is, a shirt, you know. But he says, you sent me a gift. I'm sending you a reciprocate. I'm sending you a gift. Because on Judgment Day, Marin mitzvos laharbi bnei adam shlosu osan mitzvos. On the big screen in front of us is going to be shown many mitzvos that we know we never performed. V'yomru, and we're going to say to the bezin up there, halolo asinu ze. What's this doing on my screen? There must be a mix-up here. I never did this mitzvah. V'yashiva lo, the bezin's going to answer him. Osam sesipru aleichem ra, the people who spoke lashon hara about you down there, hey masuelu amitzvos, they did these mitzvos. Venotlin osam ehem venoslim lachem, and those mitzvos are taken from those people and they're put on your record card. Vechein l'rashoim, and to the wicked on the big screen, just the opposite. Marin averish l'asu osam, they show a picture of sins that I never committed. Uchshiyomru, and when we say hello lo asinu ze, I know I committed other sins perhaps, but this sin I know I never did. So what's it doing on my screen? Yashiva lehem, the basin's going to answer. Elu averos aso samoso polonishi shibartim alay Allah alav lashon hara. These are the sins of the person who you spoke lashon hara about. V'notlu mimenu, these sins were taken off of his credit, so to speak. V'nisvasfu le'alechem, and they were added to your list. Amazing, when you speak lashon hara, when you spread a rumor about a guy, you get his sins, you get his sins, he gets your mitzvahs, and vice versa. Now, gentlemen, I just want to explain something that we do in Shmoneh Esrei every day, or we should be doing in Shmoneh Esrei every day. You may have noticed at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, there's a paragraph, of course, after Yiyul HaRatzon, Elokai Nitzor L'Shoni Meira. In the middle of towards the end of that paragraph, you may have noticed in certain Siddurim, I know the Art Scroll Siddur has it, a little asterisk, and then there's a note. for the pasuk that represents your name, say the pasuk now. And in the back of the siddur, there's an entire list of psukim that correlate with your name. My name, for example, is Avram. So I have a pasuk, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Bi Avram. It says, Samir Kazim, Mesamta Shmoy Avraham. That's my pasuk. And you're supposed to say that pasuk before you end Shmoy Nesra. If you have two names, you say two psukim. Three names, three psukim. That says the Shloh HaKadosh is what we do at the end of Shmoy Nesra. Why do we do that? Says the Shloh. Because, like we just learned, there's going to come a time after our lives are gone, finished, when we're going to be sitting in front of the big screen. We're going to see mitzvahs we never did. We're going to see averus we never did. We're going to be so tzemish, so tzachish, so mixed up. We're not going to know who we are. Because, wait a second, I'm seeing things that are not me. And I'm seeing other things that certainly aren't. What's going on here? I'm mixed up. Who am I? If you say the pasuk of your name three times a day for your entire life, that pasuk is going to be on the tip of your tongue. You're going to remember the pasuk. You're going to remember the name. You're going to remember your name. You're going to remember who you are, says the Chofetz Chaim. And that's why we insert it in that part of Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because that's the part of Shmoneh Esrei that talks about Lashon Hara. Elokai, God, Nitzor Lashon Chomeira, Svasai Midab Emirma. Please, protect me from speaking Lashon Hara and slander. That's why, says the Chofetz Chaim, we include the concept of the Shloah Kodosh in Shmoneh Esrei. So this idea, gentlemen, of Lashon Hara and verbal things that we say, I'm going to tell you another Maisa now. And I tell you, fasten your seatbelts for this Maisa. If you want to see that, if you don't want to trust me on this, I'll tell you where it is. This Maisa is brought down in the introduction of the Sefer Koch Ve'ar. Koch Ve'ar is a Sefer the Divrei Torah, Divrei Musa of Rabbi Itzala Petterberg. Rabbi Itzala Petterberg was one of the three prime students of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And at the end of the introduction, he brings a story. He, Rabbi Itzala Petterberg, was a good friend of Rabbi Chaim Berlin. You know the yeshiva of Chaim Berlin? It's named after a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Chaim Berlin. They both moved from Europe to Eretz Yisrael together, and they continued their friendship. They made themselves a deal, a pact, so to speak, that whichever one dies first has to come back to the other in a dream and tell them, Was tutzach in Himmel, what's going on in heaven. They said to each other, if you die first, remember, you come back to me in a dream. And if I die first, I'll come back to you. That was the deal. They shook on the deal. Fine. Gentlemen's agreement. What happened? Rabbi Itzala Petterberg died first. Okay? There was a whole tumult what to do about the hesped, incidentally, parenthetically, because he left instructions, there shouldn't be a hesped. And Rabbi Chaim Berlin wanted to say a hesped. Such a great person, how can you not say a hesped? Inspire the people. And Rabbi Shmuel Salant was the Rav of Yerushalayim at that time, and he paskin you can't. He left. You have to follow the instructions of a person who died, and he said no. So Rabbi Chaim Berlin said, "Okay, I won't say a hesped, but I'm going to say words of bechia. I'm going to say things that make people cry." And he says, by Avram and Sarah, when Sarah died, it says, Vayispod, Lispod l'Sara v'Livkosa. Lispod l'Sara v'Livkosa. To eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. So I'm not going to do the Lispod. I'm not going to do the Hesped. Fine, because he said left instructions. But to have people cry, to say things to inspire people to cry, that I can do. So that's what he did. All right, in parentheses. What happens? The following Leil Shabbos. That's what it says there written. Leil Shabbos, I assume, means Friday night. That Friday night, Rabbi Itzala Petterberg came to Rabbi Chaim Berlin in a cholam, in a dream. And he says, as far as our deal goes, the deal is off. Why? It's against the rules. They don't let me report to you what's going on in heaven. I can't tell you. One thing I could tell you, I got Rishus besides the fact that they didn't let me come until now, it's a few days ago that I died, I wanted to come to you right away to honor our deal, they didn't let me until now, that's why I came now, and they let me tell you the following, that in heaven, the defense team is absolutely fantastic, especially for a Talmud Chacham. Any sin that you commit, the defense attorneys, they get you under the wire. You're free sailing, no problem. Gan Eden, straight away. Except for one sin, that the prosecution is too overwhelming and it cannot go against the defense attorneys. One sin the prosecution gets you for, and that is the sin of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, there's no defense. They keep you until they work out the Lashon Hara from you. No. So you see, gentlemen, this is not a simple maisa, this concept of what we're learning now, that getting one other person's mitzvahs and averus and so on and so forth, you know, it's not so simple. So let's continue. We'll finish the paragraph. V'zeu shenema, and this is what it means when it says in Tehillim, V'hoshev l'shcheineinu shiva sayim, Hashem should return to our neighbors, or to those that we know, shiva sayim, seven times, el cheikam, to them, cherposam, their insult, asher cherpucha, that they shamed Hashem, you. In other words, they should get back anything that they insulted you during their lives, they should get it back. Why? What is it? What does this have to do with us? Ki kol ha-machariv es ha-tzadik. Any person who denigrates a tzadik, ki ilu machariv es Hashem baruch hu. It's like you cursed God. Ki oyve Yisrael nikroim oyve Hashem bechama makamos. Because many times we find that the enemies of a Jew are the enemies of Hashem. So you're messing with a kosher Jew, you're really messing with Hashem. V'alzeh his hironu b'Torah, and this is what we're warned about in the Torah, Zachares asher osa Hashem lekech leMiriam baderech. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam on the road. And of course, you're familiar with this, what happened. L'fichach misha sovel b'ziono, therefore someone who bears the brunt, v'shosek, and is silent, Nika Shehu Anav. This proves the fact that he was an Anav. What happened there? The Moshe Rabbeinu separated from his wife, and Aaron and Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about him. What is he doing? And Miriam was stricken with Tzaras. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't respond in any way shows that he was an Anav. We find by Hillel somebody embarrassed him. Sha'am Alo. The person said to him, "Al yirvu kamoscha b'Yisrael, may there never be another Jew amongst the nation like you, Hillel." Below hikbid, and he was silent. He didn't. You know what happened there, the Maisa. Hillel was known for his patience. So a guy made a deal with another guy. I bet you I can make Hillel angry. Really? A bet? How much is the bet? 400 zuz. Okay, I'll bet you. I'll bet you that I know that I can make Hillel angry. So he bet him $400, 400 zuz. The guy goes to Hillel's door, Erev Shabbos, he hears Hillel's taking a shower, he knocks on the door, Hillel comes out of the shower. And he asks him these silly questions, why are people who live in this part of the country, their skin looks like this, and why the people who live in this part of the world, their necks are shaped like this, and their noses are like this, and Hillel four, five, six times comes, he waits until Hillel's back in the shower, he knocks on the door again, testing his patience. Finally he says, this guy who's trying to get Hillel angry, finally he says to Hillel, "Man, I'm so upset with you, there should never be another person that ever lives like you with so much patience." So Hillel said to him, "You're wrong. Even though it cost you $400, it was worthwhile to test my patience and that I was able to overcome and to learn the lesson of not responding to an insult." For Yeshba Medrash, and we find in the Medrash, Ein Onav, Ela Hashomer Chapesov Heishiv, a real true modest person, humble person, is the person who listens to someone else put him down and he doesn't respond. Dechsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, about the Daber Miriam V'Aron B'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, Uksiv, and immediately after that it says in the Torah, V'Yish Moshe Onav Me'od. Moshe was the most humble person who ever lived. So you see, that the person who doesn't respond, like Moshe didn't respond, is an Arav. V'olav Nemar, and about this kind of person it says, V'ohavav, and those who love Hashem, Ketseish Hashemesh Big V'rosol, will be like the sun in its strength. So the Radak explains, just like when the sun gets stronger and stronger as it rises, so too a person who loves Hashem is, as he goes through life, is going to become stronger and stronger. We find the similar case, gentlemen, and we'll end with this. We find the similar case by David HaMelech when he was walking with his bodyguard and he was confronted by Shimi ben Gera, and Shimi ben Gera cursed him. And he threw things at him, and the bodyguard reached for his sword to kill Shimi ben Gera. And David HaMelech held on to him, his hand, and he said, "May Hashem yotza hadava." He says, "No, this is from God. I know I'm being tested now if I'm going to respond." And he didn't respond, and he let Shimi ben Gera alive, which, by the way, incidentally, which led to generations later to Mordechai Yehudi, because if you read in the Megillah, it says Ish Mordechai Hoya B'Shushan Abayra Ushmo Moshua Ish Yehudi Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yoyer Ben Shimi. Who's that? Shimi. That's Shimi Ben Gera. And that's why it says Yesh Yehudi, because the tribe of Yehuda, even though Mordechai was from the tribe of Binyamin, Ish Yemini, the tribe of Yehuda was taking credit for him. Why? Because since David HaMelech was from the tribe of Yehuda, of course, Malchus, and David HaMelech was the one who spared his life, so they were taking credit for the fact that we have Mordechai. Because if not for David, we wouldn't have Mordechai, because he would have killed Shimi. And Mordechai is a descendant of Shimi. Why did this happen to David HaMelech? Because David wanted a bracha named after him, just like Avram has a bracha named after him. We say in the Shemoneh Esrei, bracha to Hashem, Mogein Avram. David felt that he should have a bracha also. Hashem said Avram was tested, and you weren't tested. And that's why Avram gets a bracha, you don't. So what do you think David said? Test me. Hashem said, you're going to fail. Test me. You're going to fail. Test me. So what Hashem do? He tested him with Bathsheba. What happened? He failed. Whatever the failing was, we got to be careful how we say this. We're not saying that David HaMelech sinned in any way, but for the purposes now, he failed the test. What happened? Test me again. So Hashem tested him again. This was when it happened with the sword. He realized that this was the test from Hashem to see if he would respond. And he passed the test. He didn't have Shimi killed. He realized it was coming from Hashem. And he got his bracha. And that's the bracha we say in the Haftorah. Baruch atah Hashem Mogein David. That's the bracha Mogein David that he was deserving on because he controlled himself. Okay, gentlemen, we'll resume next week. Have a wonderful evening. We